When I first started my wedding photography business back in 2011, I made just $5,000 in my business. Now, I bring in multiple six figures per year while working only 30-hour weeks serving my dream couples. I'm here to help you discover that it's so possible to have what you want, when you want in your business, so that you can create the life you've always dreamed of and deserve. So welcome, Eric. I'm so excited to chat with you. I always feel so funny starting a podcast that way because we literally just chatted for 5 minutes and then I say, oh, welcome, Eric. It always makes me feel like a fraud. I don't know about you.
It's where all the secrets were said already. So, I mean, maybe you'll just have to put that part in too.
Right? Yeah.
It's great to talk to you.
Yeah, same. And for anybody that doesn't know Eric, I mean, I just discovered him a few months ago on YouTube. I was searching for how to like find a new kind of way of shooting flash on wedding days. I was like, oh, am I going to get a little extra creative this year? And I found his video and then he was hilarious. It's very rare for people to make me LOL by myself in my office. And I'm like, oh my God, this is so entertaining. And like, I'm learning. And then I dove into his YouTube channel. I'm like, okay, he needs to be on the podcast. Like, so yeah. And all, on top of that, I also loved how open he was about talking about money and his income and just all the ways that he creates diversity in his business to diversify his income. And we are both kind of aligned in that because I'm also passionate about that as well. And I want to break the stigma about, you know, keeping our like financials and income and how much we make to ourselves, because if we don't share that as photographers with one another, then that's where people can, you know, go for things towards things and different goals blindly, waste time, and then also not even know like what's even possible for them. Like maybe someone's making $50,000 in income and they're like, you know, this is amazing. That's, I'm just going to settle. Right. But maybe you want more and that's okay. If you want more, and you don't have to settle if you want more. And there's a way to make that happen without sacrificing, like, you know, your actual time freedom and lifestyle as well. So yeah, today, Eric and I are just going to like shoot the shit, talk to each other about it. And you guys can listen in. And I guess I just want to start maybe by asking you, Eric, where, like, what made you even decide to start diversifying your income?
It does feel like I kind of fumbled into it. I graduated college as a teacher, as a special ed teacher, and I taught for 3 years while growing my side hustle in photography and filmmaking. Like having absolutely no idea what I was doing in that, especially on the filmmaking side. I went 4 to 5 years without even knowing the technical components of filmmaking until like I had an aha moment and realizing that learning that stuff was going to take my artistic levels to the next level. And so I was always under the impression while I was teaching that it was going to take me probably a decade to switch over to full time. So when I realized quickly that just serving my clients well and getting really excited with them and giving them a great experience, like that whole mantra of my business and philosophy that I adapted really early snowballed my business very quickly and got word of mouth going like crazy amongst a handful of different communities of friends and family. And all of those friends and family of former clients that I had already shot for just kept referring me to more and more weddings. And I was just priced at a point where those people just kept saying yes over and over. And I think a lot of them just felt very comfortable in the conversation with me leading up to the wedding, just always communicating that I wanted to be their friend. Like I wanted to be someone they enjoyed having around since I was going to be the person they were going to see the most on their wedding day. So like, I would always say that phrase like, well, I'm going to be the person you see the most, so you probably don't want to hate me. And it's just like, that always gets a laugh out of people. And they just, I know that they like, they feel that energy when I say that kind of stuff. And I'll also say things like, I'm not going to be afraid to grab you by the shoulders and tell you everything's going to be okay. Like I will be that person that's like in your corner and advocating for the things that you want. So with that kind of philosophy, it just, like I said, snowballed very quickly. And I was out of teaching within 3 years. I had a full ride scholarship where in the state of Illinois, I only needed to teach 2 years out of the first 5 I was out of school. So I'd already knocked that out with the first 2 years. We had our first kid, was not planned. And I ended up doing that 3rd year for benefits and health insurance. And was just the craziest year of my life. I shot like 25 weddings and taught full time and coached basketball. So I guess from that early, those early stages, I was already kind of diversifying, you know, like I had this full-time salary that wasn't much. I mean, it was like a $42,000 salary right out of college. And I was commuting from the city to the suburbs on a train. My commute both ways ended up being an hour and a half to 2 hours every day.
You know, this was also when you had your first kid, when yeah. you were coaching basketball, teaching, and shooting all these weddings.
It's pretty psychotic. And a lot of people look at me and think that I'm busy now. And I'm like, I don't know. I think that was the busiest time of my life because I was shooting almost a full-time regiment of weddings that year. And I was just needing to like stay up late and edit all of them. Like while I watched a basketball game or whenever I wasn't shooting on the weekends or Sunday evenings, and just, unfortunately, it just felt like I wasn't giving I definitely wasn't giving 100% in the classroom. So it didn't even feel like I was giving like over 50%. So I was like, this just isn't fair to the kids. I'm at a point where I can switch over to full time. That was really scary for me, but I just kept that philosophy going. And I think once I started to go to a few workshops and hearing other creative ideas and people who are kind of the entrepreneurial spirit and mind, one person in particular, my friend Levi Tiarina, I was hearing like all of the 5 to 10 year plan dreams he had. And I, you know, having been, I think when I went to his class, I was probably a year or two into full-time photography and filmmaking. And it just sparked this thing in me where I'm like, I didn't realize that artists like thought about business this way or thought about their future in this way. And then I realized very quickly that I wanted to be one of those people that I didn't always just want to not know where my next paycheck was going to come from. I didn't want to have instability whenever, you know, something would happen with the industry or whatever. So I think that's when I just started to dabble in different ideas of like, okay, how can I start making income in different ways or diversifying my skill set to not just put all my eggs in one basket. So yeah, I became friends with Daniel and Rachel over at Mango Street. They're on YouTube as well. They were in Chicago at that time. I met them at a random meetup it was like an Instagram meetup. And then we kind of just kept up on Instagram for a few years. And then Rachel had severe food allergies. So they booked a wedding in Asia and she just like couldn't go because of allergies. So Daniel asked me if I wanted to come to second shoot and I did. And then that's when I started making YouTube videos. Those were some of my first vlogs and they were already on their way to being a really successful YouTube channel. And I was like, huh, like this, more than anything, this is just brand building for the stuff that I do. And then from there, like a lot more started to snowball. So
long answer, cool. Long. That's,
no, I love that. I love the backstory. And yeah. What year was it that you kind of had that transition from letting go of teaching and just sticking with photography full time?
That was 2016. Summer of 2016 is when I finished my last school year. And then the fall of 2016 into the full year of 2017 was when I was completely full time.
Okay.
And then I started the YouTube channel in 2018. So.
Oh, 2018 YouTube. Okay. And then what was your first, like, so as you had that moment where you realized like, oh my gosh, we as artists can also be, think more entrepreneurially. I can't even say that word. Entrepreneurially. and also just like, yeah, have those 5 to 10 year plans and think like how to work smarter instead of harder and all those things. So when you got that kind of like hit of inspiration, what was your first thing that you've kind of put together or focused on to diversify your income from just making money through photography? Was that the YouTube channel or was it something else? Was it like a digital product? Where did you go from there?
No, it was definitely print sales at first. I was on PixieSet at the time. And when I saw print orders come in without even trying, I was like, well, that's crazy that I'm like delivering these galleries and this is a subsequent like thing that happens after I send a gallery. And then I was like, okay, how do I get more strategic with this process? Because I had a friend in the industry in much more of the high-end photography realm. And he always talked to me about how he booked packages with clients. So if a potential client came in, he would do a beginning phone call or meet with them in person. And then he would pitch them all of the packages and say like, hey, I'll give you 20% off of any package if you book within the next 48 hours. And I was like, oh, that was the first time I had ever heard of a time constraint. Like you putting a time constraint on a potential client or a customer. And I didn't know if I really dug it at first. I was like, oh, I don't know. That feels weird. I don't. And when I came to grips with that being like a perfectly normal thing that so many businesses do when it comes to running sales, like, I'm like, how many times have I bought anything on sale that was on a time constraint? Like, it happens all the time. I'm like, why can't I do that?
And the important thing was you're still happy with it, right? Because it just, it helps you just make a decision. And usually if you're like, I really want it, you're going to quickly decide that you want it, right?
100%. No, there's something psychologically there where it's like, if people are on the fence and they like, they need someone to make the decision for them, that really pushes them in that direction. And then what's great is then you just absolutely blow all their expectations out of the water after that. It's not like they feel weird going into that and then you're a crappy photographer, but then you actually go way above and beyond and they're just like, I can't believe we even thought of hiring anybody else. So that's what I really love doing, where it's just like, hey, here's your window of opportunity. You know, so I never did that with my wedding packages, but I did start implementing that with print sales. So I would run print sale promos for, you know, like for the next 2 weeks, you can have 30, 40% off. And I would just mark everything up so that I would still make profitable margins on, you know, any orders that came in with those discounts. And that incentive started, I started to see a lot more print orders roll in. I was like, oh, that's really interesting. So then when the Cubs won the World Series in 2016, I went down to the stadium and photographed the stadium, like World Series champion on the Wrigley marquee. I don't really know if it was legal based on trademark, but like, to be honest, I don't know. I don't know. It was like, it was visible from public. So it was kind of a gray area, but like I think I sold 40 or 50 prints of that sign and made like $2,000 right before Christmas. Cause it was just like, right around the holidays, and everybody wanted that picture framed in their house. So that's where some of the side hustle stuff started to roll in. And I was like, okay, I can like, but I was using the money I was making with these print orders on different print orders to then subsidize more of my business. So I would just dump it right back in and be like, okay, so next month or next year, I'm going to go do this crazy styled shoot that's going to fill my portfolio with the work that I want to do. And it's going to justify like what I'm capable of as an artist and my style and my preferences and my looks. And then that subsequently just kept the ball rolling. It was like, okay, now I'm really landing the clientele that I want. And then when it came to YouTube, it was just like, I was growing an Instagram following. I was posting on a Facebook group called Looks Like Film. And I was putting all of my creative portraits up there, shot with tilt shift, shots with double exposure. That's where I really started to come up with the phrase, lean into what makes you different. I also went to a class by Max Wanger, who's a commercial and minimalist photographer. And in his class, I remember writing down in my notepad, lean into what makes you different, because he had a lot of those same ideas, just like creative ways to market his own business without really have to doing any ad spend in traditional ways. So I was just thinking, okay, well, what if I start growing my brand like within the photography community? Like, sure, I might not get clients that way, but I have been a teacher. Maybe I could get into the realm of education when I get good enough to teach this stuff. So when Rachel from Mango Street like forced my hand into starting a YouTube channel, even though I didn't want to, I started making tutorial-based stuff on all of that creative photography and the different unique angles I had. And the flash tutorial is actually one of those early ones that double exposure one went off, doing the Brennizer method and bokeh panoramas and double exposure. And a lot of those early videos did really well because I think a lot of people were really thirsty to like know and understand how to get creative with their photography. So I didn't really think it was going to be a business endeavor, YouTube, at all. I just thought it was going to be growing my brand in a more unique way. And then once that snowball started going, I was like, oh, like YouTube's a really good place to diversify your business with tons of different things. So yeah, it was cool because it felt very pure. I like wasn't starting a YouTube channel to make money. I just really wanted to start one because half of my life I had been making videos and being goofy and, you know, being my stupid self on camera. And so I was like, well, if that can help market my business, why not do it? And yeah, the idea was born. So
I love that so much. I can totally relate to that transition because I also had, I think it was about 5 years ago that I got into teaching other photographers. I've been doing this for a photographer for 11 years now. And it was also like, I just had all these, like this knowledge that was working so well for me. And I had this like feeling inside of me. I'm like, I just have to share with other people. Like I can't hold it in. And I literally, it was like coming out of me naturally at photographer meetups. I didn't care to get paid for it or anything. Right. And then that's when you realize like, oh, like more people are actually contacting me for like mentoring sessions or something. Okay. It's my time. I should charge for it. And it just slowly, evolves from there. Where then you can start really strategizing and seeing how this can be another way for you to, diversify your income and do that. So yeah, it's such a funny little moment in time where it's like, oh, we're just doing what we love. And then, oh yeah, never mind. We can actually make money from it. Just like maybe when we first started photography, right? It was like just hanging out, doing what I love. And then, oh yeah, let's make that money. That's awesome. So then, okay. So now let's move to like, you're starting to see that you have something to offer for photographers, right? And probably your wedding photography side of, and videography side of your business is like a well-oiled machine. You know how to market it. You're getting referrals consistently. It's not an issue for you to consistently be booked, right? So then you probably had more time to focus on education. So what was the first moment where you kind of on purpose created something in order to have that be part of your income in addition to everything else? Because I kind of want, for those of that are listening and like they're at that place where they're like, I do want to start diversifying. I just don't know where to start or how, or like what idea to go after. I kind of want them to see, maybe hear from you, from your experience of like how that happened for you, for them to get inspired of how they can do it.
Totally. Yeah. I think a lot of people who think about making a YouTube channel just think of YouTube ad revenue as how you make money on YouTube. And that was one of the first things that made me go like, I hadn't set up direct deposit. So I literally just got a check in the mail from Google and I was like, what is this? And then I found out that it was AdSense from my YouTube videos. And I was like, wait. And then I went down the rabbit hole where I started looking up YouTube videos on how AdSense works. And I was like, okay, wait, this is crazy. Like you can, if you just make videos, the platform will actually just pay you. And then like quickly found out, I was disappointed in seeing like, it's not that much, but it's still fun to like go after. So that was a part of me going like, okay, well, this is some incentive to keep making stuff. But more than anything, like the connections and the things that it's, the opportunities it's giving me is mind blowing. So in like the 2017 to 2018 window, I was getting a lot of people DMing me on Instagram because a lot of people in the photography realm were following me from these Facebook posts. Like they would go to the top of the page, get a bunch of likes and comments, and then I would link my Instagram and started growing an Instagram following for a lot of photographers, like really interested in how I photograph things creatively. And then people started seeing my films, subsequently seeing my films too, which I was really trying to up my game on those too. So all of a sudden I started getting all these photographers like asking me questions and wanting to treat me to coffee. And it was very flattering. I was like, yeah, sure. Like I'll go out. Yeah. Sounds great. I love teaching this stuff. I love getting people amped about it. I love seeing people be successful in creative realms, especially in this niche of wedding photography, wedding filmmaking. So the more and more coffee hangouts I went to, I started just being like, okay, this is completely unsustainable. I can't keep saying yes to free coffee. Like that's great and all, free coffee is great, but my time is becoming more valuable than free coffee. And I go, okay, well, you know, I could start charging mentor sessions, start doing that whole thing. And that's where the education realm started to blossom. So then I created a PDF that was almost exactly modeled after my wedding PDF pricing sheet with different tiers and different categories, and people started booking mentor sessions. And so like, it was completely up my alley. Like I know how to make a lesson plan. I know how to put together a slideshow presentation. Like, and these are all the things that I love to talk about anyway. So then those started rolling in, And the more and more people like started following my YouTube channel, booking me for mentor sessions, I was like, well, I've been to workshops. I've been to 3 of them already. I might as well just do my own. So I started the mentor sessions, and then the first workshop, this is a great story because it's a testament of diligence and like figuring out that you can eat crap like in the beginning and it's still okay. And so I put out a poll on Instagram. My YouTube channel is fresh. I was maybe like just under around 10,000 subscribers, thinking I was hot stuff. I'm like, all right, I'm going to do a workshop, and just let me know like what city you're from, and whichever city has the most people responding saying they want to do a workshop with me, I'll do it in that city. So I had like 16 people from Kansas City be like, please come to Kansas City. I was like, great. If I could just get half of those people, 8 to 10, maybe, to book a ticket, make it pretty affordable, I'll do my first workshop. So I rented a studio space. I made the event live on Eventbrite, and it went live, and nobody bought a ticket. And one person bought a ticket at the first day in the evening. And I was just like, okay, this is awful. Like, this isn't going to work. Maybe I'll just stick it out and see if a couple of people buy more tickets the next few days. And then the next day she reached out to me and was like, you know what? It's actually not a good idea for me financially right now. Could I get a refund? And I was like, okay, cool.
That heartbreak. I could just feel it of what it's like in that moment. Right.
So I lost the retainer on that physical space in Kansas City. And just, it was just a huge learning lesson. I was like, all right, I realize I need to actually give more value first. Like I need to build my YouTube channel. I need to prove that I'm like worth listening to or worth learning from first. So I really started just giving a ton of value in those tutorial-based videos and starting to just really share about my process in business. And I think what really helped it explode was when I made a video titled Make 100K a Year as a Wedding Photographer. And I mean, like right from the get-go on that video, it just like started exploding with views. And the same sentiment of so many people in the comments just being like, no one ever talks about how much they make in a year in this field. And it's so nice to see the transparency. But it was the first video where I figured out this new model of a style of video that I call hook, info, heart. So hooking them with something really interesting, giving them tons of valuable information in the middle, and then closing out with my philosophy and something extremely heartfelt. And so at the end of it, after I gave all that information of like how you can sell prints and what you should use for emails and like all that stuff, I was just like, at the end of the day, I want to be making money and continuing to grow this business and diversify it so I can support my family and have more time with them. And then also just serve my clients, because it's just not about me. And then it went into a whole slideshow of just incredibly emotional wedding photographs. And people were like, I clicked on this video to learn about making money and now I'm crying at the end, you know? And so, yeah, I think a video like that then started giving me the confidence to go like, okay, I think I can do a workshop. And then I did a first workshop in my own studio in Chicago. I got about a dozen people to come out to that. And then I made it even bigger to a 2-day workshop and had more people come in.
Can I actually ask you something? Because what do you think was the difference between the very first time you put out that workshop compared to the next time where you booked a dozen people? Do you think you figured out your messaging, how to have stronger messaging, how to like communicate exactly what they're going to get from it? And do you think that's what was the differentiator?
Yeah, I think a lot of it had to do with transparency. So I like to use a lot of self-deprecating humor to earn people's trust. So I'll really joke on myself a lot so that people are like, oh, he's not trying to take himself too seriously. I feel like I can trust him. So that in combination with sharing things that a lot of people don't like to share, like my income and breaking all that stuff down, as well as just like bringing value without asking for anything in return, I really developed a strong philosophy of what my education was. And I think when people gripped onto that, and I was really focusing most of my education on the philosophical part instead of just strictly the business part, I think that's where people really, really started to connect with it. Because when I went to a workshop called Workshop in Brooklyn from 2016 to 2018, and the most impactful classes were Jonas Peterson and Ben Chaish, who told stories that just had, there just wasn't a dry eye in the house. And I know those were some of the most impactful moments from that workshop. And then I started having those same moments in my career. And I'm like, well, I could share this after I give all the technical stuff. Like, sure, let's cover all of our bases on how to do this craft, how to run it as a business, and then really kind of close out with like, but you're only going to make it sustainable if you have a strong bedrock of what your philosophy is. And so really challenging with people with that, where it's just like, okay, if you do want a 5 to 10 year plan, you need to have a philosophy. Like, you need to understand why you're doing this and not just do it for cash, because there's a very rare amount of people that will just do a job like that for cash and stick with it for the long haul.
Yeah. And people can feel the energy, or people can feel the intention, the energy through, I believe, even like our posts on Instagram, when we show up on YouTube, mm-hmm. on stories, podcasts, everything. And mm-hmm. Also with you being more open and vulnerable, coming from a place that is so aligned with like you and like what you really feel like you're put here to do, I think it earns people's trust, right? And when people trust you, that's when they want to like connect with you and learn from you, and they don't second guess like paying to learn from you as well. So I love that you were able to discover that, because it is like I remember when I was just starting out with photography, I was very much a generalist. I would just shoot everything just because I like taking pictures, right? But then when you dive mm-hmm. into the deeper why of like, what is your actual favorite thing to photograph and why? And then mm-hmm. that's when you create your own way of like, for me, seeing wedding days differently than any other photographer in the world. Like, every single photographer has their unique like kind of like blueprint in a way of their vision and what they see, and no one else can replicate that. So I love that you also then were able to go on that journey and tune into that for yourself as an educator, because I know the same thing happened to me as soon as I aligned with how I kind of wanted to teach and what I wanted to teach and why. That's when everything kind of exploded as well. Mm-hmm. So it's really cool to hear that. Attention, fellow wedding photographers and fellow wannabe wedding photographers. Tell me if this sounds like you. You're scared of missing key moments on wedding days. You feel pressured to create photos that are quote-unquote Pinterest perfect and Instagram worthy. You're nervous about all the different lighting scenarios that are out of your control and you're not sure how to handle them. You're confused on how to balance creating beautiful imagery while also capturing authentic moments and emotion. And you're worried about being in people's way too often. If you're like, hells yeah, Sarah, you read my mind, then I'm here all excited and bushy-tailed, yes, I had to throw in the squirrel reference, to let you know that I've created something for you that will help you become a confident wedding day storyteller in just 2 weeks. It's an online program that I created just for you called Intuitive Storytelling, and it's officially out and ready for enrollment. I want you to take a moment and imagine for a second what life would be like if you knew how to be at the right place at the right time on wedding days, so you can catch those key and in-between moments. You got emails back from your clients saying, "You were the best freaking decision we made for our wedding." You also knew how to confidently create strong storytelling photos that people felt emotionally connected to. And you finally felt like an actual fly on the wall, aka people don't stare into your camera all day anymore. Well, it's all possible because I consistently experience these things myself. And now I want to help you make these possibilities become your reality. Are you all bright-eyed and bushy-tailed right now too? Again, had to throw in the squirrel reference, you know me. So listen up. You can get started on learning all my tips and tricks of how I document wedding days as soon as today. You can go to sarahmonica.com/storytelling for all the deets and instructions on how to grab your copy of the course. You'll have lifetime access, and you can go at it at your own pace, along with a private community of other like-minded photographers that are on the same journey as you are. With intuitive storytelling, you'll be able to learn how to confidently storytell like a pro on wedding days in just 2 weeks. So, what are you waiting for? Uplevel your storytelling game this wedding season so that next year you'll be watching your inbox filling up with even more inquiries. Hello referrals from this year's clients. So again, head over to saramonica.com/storytelling and sign up now. I cannot wait to see you in there. I want to complete kind of like the story of kind of to where you are now, I think. Mm-hmm. So you're creating those workshops. So yeah. Okay. Let's continue the story from where you said you booked that that workshop in Chicago mm-hmm. at your studio with 12 people, and then mm-hmm. kind of like, let us know what happened after that.
Yeah. So that was a full day experience, and I shared the philosophy section, and like, it was the same deal. Like the whole room was in tears and we just kind of closed it out, and I finished it with, I was like, you know, I can't take credit for a lot of the things I'm teaching you. I'm just like passing it on from my own experience with my own pizzazz on it. But I hope that this moment in time could be solidified for you in a substantive way, in a way where you look back at this day and you think like that was a huge pivot point in my business and my life. And I had just talked about how portraiture and photojournalism are one and the same, in that when you take portraits, you're not just photographing a person's face, you're photographing their face and how they looked in that moment of time in history. So like, it's very impactful. No matter like what happens to that person from that point on, they're never going to look and be that way ever again. And so I pulled everyone to the side and I took everyone's portrait in my studio one by one and just thanked them for being there. And that kind of intentionality, I think, really drove home the point that I'm like, I really care about the things I'm saying, and I want you to really cherish this picture of you and look back to it as a very poignant part of your life. So that's where I just became much more intentional with the education process. And then felt like I have so much more to say. I want to push this to 2 days and like kind of make it a thing. And I hired a planner and we got food and we just like, we did it big, and it was like drinking from a fire hose for 2 days. But then even then, like we were able to sell more tickets doing that. And I was doing it at a price that I knew that was so much more competitive than other workshops around, where people were like, that feels like a no-brainer to go to and a good investment for myself. So a lot of that for me ended up being like, okay, this is really just proof of concept for me. Like I'm doing some of these trial runs to see if I can maybe do something bigger later. And as I continued to grow up my YouTube channel, and I was thinking like the diversification of your income and your business is such a beautiful thing, in that when I'm selling my education, I'm not wholly reliant on that income. So when people come to me and they're like, hey, is this for me? I'm not afraid to be like, no, it's actually not. Like where you're at right now doesn't really make sense. Like I don't want you spending $2,000 having nothing booked at all. Maybe come back like a year and a half or 2 years from now when you have like a bedrock of clients and you're starting to get referrals, because I have no interest in selling you something just for the sake of selling you something.
Yeah.
Because I make money in other ways and I'm not reliant on this income. I want you to benefit from it.
So and then I actually believe that even if education was your only income, you mm-hmm. still would do that. Like,
yeah.
It's just ethical, right? Like,
yeah, I'm not interested in selling something just to sell something. It breaks my heart when someone doesn't connect with my education. Like if anybody ever has been like, this wasn't worth it, I'm like, full refund. That's totally fine. If you feel that way and you didn't get anything out of it, then I don't want to charge you for it. Like I personally just don't feel right doing that to you. So that's fine. It's really cool. In the same way too, it's like, if I don't connect with someone philosophically for a wedding, or like I have some planner that's coming in and trying to force my hand at like lowering my prices because it's going to be the wedding of the year or whatever, I'm like, I don't need it. I don't like it. These aren't lining up. The philosophy isn't lining up. My rate is my rate on that side. Like, it's okay. There are other people that would probably be a way better fit than me. And just having that like ability to figure out like where I can really intentionally spend my time with my clientele and people who want to learn from me is incredibly powerful. And the whole concept of saying, no, this isn't for you, just earns people's trust even more. Where they hear stories of that or see me, I'm alive, and I'm like, I don't think it's for you right now. Then they're like, oh, he's not lying. I'm like, that's great. That gives me more confidence in making this investment, you know?
Actually, yeah. I want to like circle back to when your like first workshop hashtag flopped pretty much, yeah. Right? Like, it's so funny because I find a lot of people in general, photographers, if they see something that they did and see it as like a failure, like, you know, mm-hmm. in that moment, you could have been like, oh my gosh, like I failed. And, but really it was actually like a learning lesson that took you to figuring out a mm-hmm. way that worked for you. And I actually want to mm-hmm. share like one of my first workshop stories as well. Cause I did, it's so funny. I did the same thing, go on Instagram, yes. do yeah. a poll, who would be interested. Right. And I'm like, okay, this is going to be more of like just a Q&A type circle vibe. Mm-hmm. 10 people will come. You can all just, we'll all hang out. You'll all ask me questions and I'll just answer. Right.
Yep.
And I charged, I think it was like $350 for that, mm-hmm. just because I'm like, you know what, a 1 hour mentoring session with me is around that with one person. And so if we're going to be hanging out for like 5 hours doing that, I'm like, that's totally, that makes sense. So I just charged that, booked like, you know, all of those people, all those spots. So I didn't have a flop in that sense where I didn't book the spots. But then mm-hmm. when, you know, everything like unfolded during the workshop, I didn't have like a slide deck prepared because I set expectations. I was like, this is what I'm going to be offering. Mm-hmm. Right. And, mm-hmm. but then what, one thing that happened after the workshop, like everybody during the workshop was like, oh my God, amazing, amazing, amazing. And then the day after, I got an email, a long email from one of them being like, Sarah, honestly, I was like really disappointed because there was no structure to like the lesson plan. And there was no like slideshow presentation for like a visual kind of learning mm-hmm. experience. And also it felt like we were just bopping around on different subject matters and you were touching a lot on mindset and not photography. So mm-hmm. it got left me like feeling confused, and the price point that you charged, I don't think was worth it. Right. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. It broke my heart for mm-hmm. like in that moment. But then I'm like, okay, wait, first of all, like this person, I'm looking at that email and instead of having the reaction of like, well, screw her, I set expectations, you know, yeah. I was like, okay, no. I'm going to put myself in her shoes. It takes so much courage, number one, mm-hmm. to write an email like that and actually share your feedback. Cause I, to this day, still get scared to share feedback. Like even with like a physiotherapist, I'm like, oh, I don't know if they're the right fit for me. I'm just going to stop going to appointments, but I'm not going to tell them why. Like, yeah. you know,
I still like you as a person.
Yeah. Yeah. So I was like, okay, she had so much courage to do this. So I contacted her back and I'm like, oh, I'm sorry you felt that way. I thought that I had set those expectations, but like, honestly, you sharing this with me is so valuable because it gave me already so many ideas of how I can improve the experience for future workshops. So what I'll do for you is I don't want you to feel stressed that you missed out on the money. I'm going to give you a full refund and I'm going to give you a 1 hour mentoring session, one-on-one custom. We'll talk about exactly what you need, like over freaking deliver. Right. Mm-hmm. And because it's always about like, number one, how you treat people is like, will always, it's like law of attraction. You're just going to be attracting that energy no matter what, and karma and all of that. And number two, it's like your brand. It's like how you end up, the taste you leave in someone's mouth at the end is what they're going to remember, not what happened beforehand. Right. So I was like, I'm going to protect my brand, but I'm also going to protect like her and her energy. She invested her trust and energy into me. And then from there, what I did, like I then really was like, okay, what do I really want to focus on teaching on this next workshop? And because of her, thanks to her, I was able to create a whole presentation, teach a lot of things I'm passionate about talking about. And that this was maybe like 4 years ago. And now after 4 years of really continuing to, you know, grow on like, okay, but one workshop with me focusing on workflows, outsourcing, and how I document weddings, that's too like discombobulated. It's all over the place. Okay. Let me create focused courses. That's what led me to me having my like online courses now that are very super focused and intentional. Mm-hmm. And so for those of you that are listening, that are like at the point where you just want to, you know, start like going for your offering your first workshop and you're hearing the stories of like, oh my gosh, but what if, you know, no one books just like maybe for Eric initially, or what if I have the workshop and then people are unhappy and they email me and I failed, right? I want you to take both of our stories and realize that from these quote unquote failures, they just became lessons, and they gave us clarity on how to become better, how to offer better experience for people. And that if you're not failing, you're not trying. So I would suggest that if you just along the way, as you fail, you do what is ethical, and you know, like Eric said, if someone's not happy, he's going to fully refund them. Same here, right? Because initially in the short term, you might be thinking, oh my God, but I'm losing on $350. But what you're actually gaining is actually technically so much more money, if we're just thinking about money in the long run, because that's what's going to give you the opportunity to improve what you create. And that's going to create word of mouth, and that's going to create way more sales for you than holding on to that $350 initially, just because you're like, my ego, right? So yeah, don't get scared to, you know, start your first workshop or do your first mentoring session, because I promise you, it's not going to be perfect. It's going to be messy, but that's beautiful. And you're going to learn so much from it. And I think as long as you're just transparent with people, like maybe, hey guys, this is my beta workshop, I'm trying it out, it will never be at the same price ever again, because it's only going to improve from here. That's how you can kind of like protect yourself as well, to like make sure you don't let people down, because you don't want to let people down, right? So I just wanted to throw that in there, because I don't want fear to stop people from, you know, going to that next step and that next level.
So, I mean, I had the YouTube channel going in 2018, growing it into 2019, really started to see it take off, started doing like my first brand deals on YouTube, where I was like, whoa, brands want to partner with me. They want to send me stuff. They want to pay for sponsored videos on the channel. I was like, okay, this is a new form of diversification within the channel. So I was like, okay, I have YouTube ad revenue going. I have sponsorships coming in. I have Amazon affiliate links in the description. And I'm like, man, this is like multiple streams of income coming in. I have my print sales still going. I have my wedding business. It was pretty dope. Like,
now you're feeling like hot shit.
Yes. Yeah. But then I made another Hook Info Heart kind of video, where I had just been like binging Andre Jick and Graham Stephan finance YouTubers. And they're talking about passive income and how to do it. And I'm just like, oh snap, like I have a YouTube channel now and I could start doing these things. And so I made my own passive income video. But I don't think like really anybody in the wedding photography world is making a passive income video. So I shared all of the information there. I did a funny start, tons of information in the middle, and then a really sentimental part about my family in the end, with footage of my daughter being born. And again, everyone was just like, came here to get passive income tips, left crying, you know? And then like that exploded the channel even more. And that was more reassurance that sharing about my finances and how I run my business and continue to diversify it is the move for me. Like that's where I'm really like, that's where I really have a voice. And that philosophically really just hits home with me, because I say it at the beginning of every financial video, I'm like, this is not a flex. This is not me bragging. I just love watching videos like this on YouTube. I love seeing other people break down their income and how they're making money. So I would love to do it for you, for wherever you're at. And like, you can take part bits and pieces and learn for yourself and try your own things based on what I do. And I just hope it's enjoyable for you. And it just seems like that's always really resonated very well. So going into 2020, I was really tossing around the idea of starting a Patreon. So I started a Patreon right before COVID hit. I think it was literally February of 2020, I started the Patreon, which ended up being really helpful for me, because it just like psychologically helped me a lot with getting through that season with all of the wedding postponements and getting no wedding income that entire year. But YouTube stuff just kept rolling, like more sponsorships. People kept signing up for Patreon for $10 a month, just like doing more in-depth videos on just educational things in the photo and filmmaking world and in the world of weddings, and tipping into some commercial work stuff and contracts. And yeah, just like another layer that's past YouTube, you know, that's like the YouTube videos kind of, you know, the 5 to 10 minute window. And a lot of these Patreon videos are anywhere from 12 to 60 minutes. So you're like, it's just that next layer of education you can get from me. So there's this tier of just free content all the time. You just subscribe to my channel for just $10 a month. You can jump on Patreon And then I was like, okay, but then I eventually would love to do a full blown online course. So that's where, like, again, it was another testing of the water. Like, okay, I'm going to start doing some higher production stuff, or I'll just sit down and talk for a long time to camera or structure like a lesson and then get people's responses. People really loved the BTS videos I was making there. I'd bring, you know, a GoPro or whatever on a wedding day. And so people really appreciated that stuff, and it gave me even more confidence to that with the 2-day workshops happening in 2018 and 2019. I was like, all right, I'm going to just merge all this stuff together. And so I meant to do that in 2020, but I was just like, I just didn't feel right where the economy was, where everybody felt with the amount of income they had. I was like, it just doesn't feel right to do this year. I'm going to be patient. And then I launched it in 2021, The Classroom, which is my full blown wedding photography, wedding filmmaking course.
So, and
amazing. Congrats. Yeah. And holy crap, do I know how much work it takes to create an online course,
yeah.
Right? Isn't it just like, it's in, like, you do not, you can't comprehend until you've done it. And then if you're like, okay, I'm going to create another one in the future, you're kind of like,
dread it.
Okay, I'm going to really have to.
You got to buckle down.
It's so worth it to have that. Like, when you do it and you do it really well and you have that asset in your business, it's like, anytime someone has that question and they want to go deeper, it's like, you have it already structured in such a powerful way where they can learn really well and they can continue to pause, rewind, reach out, ask you questions if that's part of the course, right? Like, so yeah, way to freaking go.
Thank you.
So it's so cool actually, because I was taking notes as I was like listening to you, because I the way I digest information is I write and then somehow it stays in my brain more, and I'm like, that's what you teach.
That's what I teach.
Yeah. It totally works. And I'm looking here and it's like, just to give people like a little bit of like a roadmap of where Eric has been. So he started off kind of diversifying his income outside of wedding photography with Pixie Set print sales. And then he transitioned into just creating tutorial videos just for fun. And then those transitioned into mentoring sessions, because, you know, coffee wasn't sustainable. Getting paid $2 wasn't sustainable for your time. Yep. And then you went into workshops, and then you went into Patreon, and now you're at your core, your online course, The Classroom. And of course, you're offering Patreon and your online course. But yeah, and that has evolved over, what would you say, 4 years for you? 5? Yeah.
Like 4. Yeah.
So it is a journey. So that's something I think we want to be honest about too, because I'm actually, it's funny. My roadmap is actually exactly as you, like yours, except I would switch YouTube with podcast. And I don't do Patreon. Instead of Patreon, I have 3 separate courses. So I have like a mini course that's like teaches in something that's like tangible. You can get quick results within 5 lessons. And then a medium sized course, which is how I teach photographers how to storytell on wedding days, like, and how I prep my couples, how I shoot on wedding days, all behind the scenes footage of like 3 wedding days. And then I have my Outsourcing Made Easy course, which is like the big, like, lifestyle shifting course from like to pretty much double your income and then cut your working time in half. So just like you, Eric, said, have more time with family, because that is always my goal as well. Right. So I was able to kind of like break those up. So I'm focusing my energy on podcasting and those courses, and you took a whole different path, but we're pretty similar. And so I think it's important for those listening that you're like, you realize it is a journey and it's not going to happen overnight. And don't feel stressed if you're like, in a year, I want to be at this point. I want to have like 30,000 subscribers on YouTube and an online course and a Patreon. It's like, just like focus on one thing at a time. And along the way, you're going to get like clarity on what to do next. Right. And actually, are you up for chatting numbers, Eric? Cause
yeah, 100%.
Which I know you are. And this is nice. Cause I think it'd be really valuable for both of us just to share. In the different kind of like aspects of like how much we can make per year with those different extra additions. So maybe I'll go first. Off the top of my head, I'm trying to, I remember numbers pretty well. Okay. So let me focus on 2021, and just remember, guys, these are like my best numbers so far. Like, it took me some time to get there because the first 2 or 3 years of my education, it wasn't very profitable because I was putting so much money back into the production of the podcast, creating the online courses. Like, I had to have someone video me and then someone, my virtual assistant, edit the videos. And oh my gosh, you just continue to like invest money in the business. But then now recently it's been very, very profitable. So keep in mind, it takes time. So last year, I remember I made about, I think it was $6,000 in profit in pick time print sales. So again, that kind of like first layer of diversifying your income. And then I also dabbled in stock photography. I don't know if you've ever tried it, Eric. Tried it out. So it's kind of like, you know how you're like, oh, that like YouTube, what do you call it when you get paid for the ads on YouTube? AdSense.
Yeah.
So that's kind of like what stock is. It's like not that much, but it is like a little like, ooh, that's exciting. A little bit extra bonus every month. So last year I made about $5,500 in stock photography. I have about 2,000 images just sitting there. And after experimenting, I realized it wasn't really worth my time. So now I'm just like done adding to it. And it's just going to sit there forever and just forever make me about that much money a year or more sometimes. Right. So I have that. And then with my wedding photography, I make about $150,000. This is in revenue. So not income. Okay, guys, revenue is gross sales. With expenses and with my taxes that I have to pay. So keep that in mind. So that was about 150,000. And then my crystal clear marketing mini course that I launched January 2021 up until this year, up until now, I'm recording this, what is it, May 25, 2022, $15,000. And then my intuitive storytelling course on wedding photography up to date is about $45,000. And then my outsourcing made easy course, the big transformational one, is up to date about $100,000. So, and from 2020 to 2021, because that's only when the doors opened for it. And then in fall 2022, that's when my outsourcing made easy doors are opening again, because I open it once a year because I support my students more that way. So yeah, in total, I would say my revenue last year in 2021 was my best year yet. And I think it was about $360,000 in revenue. And one third of that, or a little bit more, I would say like 60% was my income, because my expenses weren't too high on the education side. So that's a little breakdown of what is possible for you guys. And remember, it took me 5 years to get to this point. So Eric.
Yeah. We're actually, we had a very similar 2021, and I made a whole video breaking all that down. So if you go to my channel, just Eric Floberg, you can find that back. I think I made it in January of this year. I think I released it on New Year's Day. So I think there's just more tributaries of income kind of coming in for me, a lot of like small little ones. So contractually, I'm like not allowed to talk about specific ones with specific brands, but AdSense is like, at this point, AdSense, I make about $1,000 a month from my channel. I have just over 140,000 subscribers. I don't really post all that often, to be honest. It's another philosophy I have. I'm at a place now where I'm just like, if people want to watch me, they can watch me when I post videos. And I don't need to feel beholden to making one a week. And that's fine. And I think people thrive. I think people thrive in scenarios where they like, I have to be posting every single Monday. Great. You do that. I won't do that. We're good. Because I'm finding plenty of success in my own mental health with posting when I want to. And if I'm obligated to, with a sponsorship. But to help me with that, I'm actually doing my first real hire and paying a salary to someone. I'm hoping to start them July 1st, which is definitely going to change my life. I already have a virtual assistant for emailing and contracts and all that stuff. Her name's Nami, and she's in LA, and we get on the phone every single day at 10 a.m. But back to the numbers, with about $1,000 in ad revenue on YouTube every month, and then all the affiliate sales from Amazon tend to be like $250 to $500 a month there. So those are just links that sit in the description. But then I have affiliate partnerships with all sorts of brands that just sit in the description of my videos. So between all of those, I think last year I made somewhere in the ballpark of 25 to 30 grand with affiliate sales. So commission kickbacks that I get back from people just clicking the link and purchasing something. And
that's, you're saying affiliate links with Amazon are about 250 to 500 a month. And then separate from Amazon, other affiliate deals, about 25 to 30,000.
Yeah. So if you, it's no surprise as to what those are. You just look at the description of my videos. So that's like Music Bed for music licensing. I'm wearing their sweater right now. Free advertising for Music Bed. They're my favorite place of all time. I've been using them for almost a decade when I started filmmaking. So it was really cool to, it's just really cool to partner with brands that I already really
that
like.
You just love and you're so passionate about. It's so easy then. Yeah.
Those are the only brands I care to work with. Clever Supply, my buddy Todd, who makes leather straps for cameras. I have a partnership with him. I've been partnered with Polar Pro and selling. So sometimes they'll do a sponsored video where I'm selling one specific product and then that product is linked to a commission as well. So some of those will just trickle in and I'll get an email like, and all these brands pay at various times. Like some of them pay monthly, some of them pay every 6 months. So I'll just get an email. It's like, this brand paid you $600. And I was like, oh, sweet.
Emails are the most fun emails to see. Yeah.
Like I didn't even think about that, but I guess that video has been alive for a year now. And whoever bought that thing from that video, I'm now getting my commissions for all that, which is really cool. So I know a lot of this is kind of vague. It's just cause it is kind of all over the place. The affiliate commissions around 25 to 30,000. And then my sponsorships are right around there too for the year. And I think that was across like 12 to 15 sponsorships. And a lot of time that's just me doing an intro saying like this video is sponsored by whoever, and then doing a 30 to 90 second ad read in the middle of the video. So there's that. My Patreon, I've been averaging 250 or more people in there every month for over a year now. So every month I'm getting about 2,500 in revenue from Patreon. And I made it very clear on my expectations there. I've been ratcheting it down, but there's just an enormous library. For 2 years straight, I made 3 videos a month. So there's just so much in the backlog. So there's a ton of value in there already if you were to sign up today, but now I'm just posting less frequently in there. So I'm going like 1 to 2 times a month. Sometimes I'll edit patrons' photos. I'll do a BTS. I'll talk about a business deal that I did or how I'm financing the documentary I'm working on right now. Just like more in-depth. So I'll share all the numbers on YouTube, but then I'm like, okay, but this is like, here's the more in-depth on like, here's literally the line item spreadsheet and I'll go through and like, this is how we negotiated this and blah, blah, blah.
Which is still so valuable because there is such thing as like information overload, where if you were giving too many videos, people wouldn't have the time to actually implement. And where you implement is where you actually see changes in your life and business, not just like hearing something and knowing it, you actually have to take action. So in a way, I think it's actually very valuable to have a little bit less, but like quality content.
100%. Yeah. And what's funny is like a lot of people forget they're signed up for Patreon. So I think so many people just signed up because they want to support me, because that's true too. Like it's helping fund my creative endeavors. It's helping me continue to make YouTube videos and confidently hire people every month, whether they're subcontractors or my new employee, to give me that base of like, okay, I'll probably make 30 grand on Patreon this year. That can cover a good chunk of the salary of the person I'm going to hire. That gives me a lot of confidence to make that move. And then that's going to make my life a lot easier later. So there's small things like that, that just really help with me just making those decisions. So more on the personal side, which I love to talk about too, is just investing in stocks. So, I mean, stock market's absolutely garbage right now, but I'm actually like, I'm in the red right now. So I'm just hanging on for dear life, averaging in, but I average in 10 to 20 bucks between 5 different stocks every single day. I just have it set up on Robinhood between Apple and Tesla and the Vanguard Total Market Index. I said Apple, Tesla, and then I'm blanking on the third one. It'll come to me. Vanguard Total Market ETF. So it's just basically taking the S&P 500, the top 500 performing companies in the total stock market, and then following that. So it's diversifying the stocks that you're choosing within one stock ETF exchange traded fund. Yeah, so there's that. And that's just long term. And I'm every year I don't plan on touching that money unless I feel like I want to pull it out for some huge down payment on another business or something like that, which would probably be 5 years down the road, 10 years down the road. But then every year we're always contributing to our Roth IRA or other retirement accounts if we can't contribute to the Roth, because I'm now making too much money to contribute to a Roth according to the rules. So now I have a SEP IRA that I'm contributing to, which is 25% of the salary I pay myself as an employee of my incorporated business. So I'm going on a lot of tangents here, but yeah. So there's all the retirement stuff there, but I also really consider our real estate as a form of long-term investing in retirement as well. So we bought our first piece of real estate in 2018, which is a condo for $260,000. And I think we put down 10%, 26,000 when we bought it, and just we did extra payments monthly for a long time. And then in 2020, when rates were way down, we refinanced that 30-year mortgage to a 15-year mortgage. And we actually ended up paying less per month on that new refinance rate because the interest rate was so low. It was a no-brainer to switch. So now we really, if we paid every single month the amount we're supposed to pay, it will be paid off in about 12 years now. So we kept that condo when we moved to our house last year. And now we have renters in that condo. So they are subsidizing that mortgage. And I mean, we pay like $40 extra every month to offset the cost of what the mortgage is. But that's just being paid into equity of the property. And the value of the property is already up to like $350,000 now in 4 years. Who knows? That bubble might burst very soon. But what's great is like in that gives me the power to, again, it gives me the confidence to hire an employee or potentially refinance that mortgage, do a cash out refinance. Like if I want to do a huge lump sum into another business or more real estate, I could pull from the equity in that condo and just do a ton of other things. Like I could right now, as it stands, we have about 160 to 180,000 in equity in that place. And with a cash out refinance, you could take up to 80% of your equity based on an appraisal. So I could probably pull out $140,000, $150,000 and just have that in cash ready to go to invest into something else if I wanted to buy another property or buy a commercial property or something like that.
Yeah, that's so fun. That's our next move that mm-hmm. we're going to be focusing on. And I can't wait to start learning more about that and like Airbnb and all of that. Mm-hmm. And we just invested last November 2021 into, I don't know if you heard of Mel Abraham. He's like financial freaking guru. He like teaches you how to build a money machine that's ends up being sustainable and that you could live off of that and not have to like continue to earn right. money, essentially mm-hmm. early retirement. Yep. If you wanted to, I mean, I love my work so much. I'm never going to actually want to do that, but I do right. want to have that like nest egg, be able to have different experiences in life, you know, all mm-hmm. that kind of stuff. And yeah, we bought his program, The Affluence Blueprint, and we dove Very into cool. it in my third trimester of pregnancy. And then now in the last 3 months with having a newborn, we're like, okay, pause. And then as soon as we're like, we feel ready again to dive into that, we're going to. So that's yeah. like the next step. So it's so fun that you're already there and like playing around with stocks, with like property and all of that. So yeah, just I'm really impressed with you and how you're like, you know, choosing to make choices that will make things happen for you. And you're not just, you know, letting things like happen to you in life. You're actually in the yeah. driver's seat and you're making things mm-hmm. happen, making those choices. So yeah, that's amazing. Yeah. Thank you also for sharing all that. Is there anything else that you wanted to share about around?
Yeah. There's, you know, I talked to Patreon, the classroom, same deal. I'm releasing it again this July. The window is going to be July 18th to 25th. And I mean, just for marketing purposes alone, having it be in a window of time where I'm not marketing it the entire year, but I can dedicate like an entire month to being like, enrollment's open, get in now or don't get in. And that was, again, like bringing that philosophy of marketing, like we talked about in the beginning of the podcast, of just like, this is what it is. This is what's sane for me. Because I like to have all the conversations around, if you're in the right place to get this course right now, like I want to be having those personal conversations. I don't want a virtual assistant to be doing those conversations in the same way, giving the time that I want and I feel like students deserve in that time frame, especially when I'm selling it, is why I only leave it open for a week. I definitely am very interested in making it evergreen in the future, but then that's when I would be setting expectations where I'm like, it's going to be evergreen, but I'm going to be a lot more hands-off. Like, you're not going to get the same kind of interaction with me that all of the beginning students had. You know, like, I'm not going to be as active in the Facebook group because it's going to be evergreen now, just for my own sanity and me needing to not be on my phone all the time in front of my family. So that's the reasoning with that. With our last drop, we did about $250,000 in gross revenue. And then we offered it either upfront, paying for it upfront, or you could bundle both photo and video for 50% off in the second one. So there's incentive there to get both. And then we offered interest-free financing for 6 months to soften the blow, just giving tons of options to people. Be like, and again, it was like that. It's that stair-stepping thing where I'm like, I never would have felt confident selling a $2,000 course to people had I not opened up a Patreon and done the 2-day workshop and like done all of these prerequisites to be like, no, my value is this with my education. And the way I sell it to people, I'm just like I said, I'm not going to BS you. If I don't think you're ready for it and I don't think a $2,000 investment is good for you right now, do not buy it. But if you are like in that phase where you're looking to go full time, or you already are full time, like you could very easily pay it off with just booking one more wedding. And it's like, it's a pretty easy sell to a lot of people. Or it's like, if I could just get you one more, two more, maybe you might even get the referral in the Facebook group. Like it would be worth it for you. So yeah, it's a tricky thing. It's an incredibly hard thing to make and create. Just the amount of hours to put into that thing. Each one of both the photo and the video are 15 to 16 hours of content. So it's just like, it's a behemoth of a thing.
Behemoth is the correct word for that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. So,
yeah. Tons of value, but yeah.
Yeah. I love how, like, again, you being so honest with people, like I did the same thing. Like when people ask me, they're like, Sarah, I'm not quite, some photographers just like know, like, oh yeah, this is the next step for me. Right. They just kind of know. And then sometimes they're like, Sarah, this is where I'm at in my business. Is this the right fit? I do the same thing. I'm like, nope, not yet. Get to this point and then this will be the right fit, right? Mm-hmm. And also, oh my gosh, brain fart, because you know, new mom, less sleep. I went to sleep at 1 a.m. last night because I had an engagement session up north.
Oh my goodness.
I'm like, I don't remember what I was gonna say. I remember. Okay. So also, for those of you that are like figuring out if you do want to create like a mini course or like an online course, because I know you all are just at so many different levels. Some of you are like just starting your photography business. Some of you are 5 years in, 10 years in. I love what, like Eric, that you said, you know, you can have the option of creating it how you want. So you can do like a launch of a course and once a year in order to be like really active when you're like really making sure it's who it's the right fit for, marketing it, selling it, and then supporting your students. Or you can also create an option where it's more or less just like, here it is, sign up and you learn it at your own pace on your own. Maybe there's a dedicated, you know, community Facebook group where people just connect in there, but you're not as active teaching. Like, just so you know, both options are there. You can totally design your educational business by design how you want to do it and not feel like you have to always be on and on your phone and answering questions if that's not what fulfills you in the education space. Like maybe you have an upsell on like more one-on-one coaching and that's where you shine, and that's where you prefer to help, you know, teach better. So there's so many different ways of doing it. And that's why I have like my two smaller courses. I don't like calling them smaller courses because they have such a big impact in what they're meant to do. But yeah, those two are pretty much available anytime. And then my Outsourcing Made Easy one, again, I do the same thing. I launch it once a year because it's like, I need to be in there like coaching and supporting because that's where I feel like I can take their results to the next level. You know, if they do their part and meet me at the halfway on the court, right? I love the analogy of like, there's a basketball court, right? And it's kind of like, we're the creators of this online course. And what we do is we provide our value. We walk up to that half point line. Is it called a half point line? In basketball, half court. That is what it is. Half court. I'm like, half point, that one's off.
It's like 50 yard line.
Yeah.
Sports ball.
So it's like our responsibility to go to the half court line. And then it's also our students' responsibility to do their part to walk up until the half court, you know, actually go through the lessons, do the homework, ask questions, right? So yeah, it's a team effort. Yeah, so I just wanted to touch on that as well. And I feel like this episode was really good for anybody at any stage of like learning to diversify their income. You've been like so open and transparent and helpful. And I love like the bounce back how we were both able to share our own perspectives. So yeah, thank you so much, Eric. And I also want to make sure everybody knows where to connect with you and also let them know of any resources that you're, you know, passionate about sharing, which you already shared about, but you can just let people know where they can connect with you for those resources.
Yeah, I'm fairly active on Instagram, just my name, Eric.Floberg, and then my YouTube channel, just Eric Floberg. A lot of stuff that I'm selling or doing is linked in the description there. Like I said, the classroom is going to go live again this July. And I'm finally, after like years of figuring it out, selling presets and LUTs, which I'm very excited about. They all have like really special names that are near and dear to me. So those will be dropping in a few weeks, which is really exciting. So
that's amazing. And I love how you're connecting, you're continuing that philosophy even into your presets. You're connecting the heart to even how do you name them. That's so cool. Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Eric.
Thanks for having me.
And done. I feel like the end is always like, thank you. Bye. But not really. And bye. Yay! Thank you so much for hanging out with me and tuning into this episode. If you got value out of it, please feel free to message me on Instagram at Sarah Monica Photo. That's Sarah, no H, Monica with a K, photo, to let me know. I get so freaking energized hearing from others that what I've said has had a positive impact on their lives. Also, make sure to hit subscribe to the Shine and Thrive podcast. Do you love shooting but hate the endless admin, culling, and editing that follows your wedding and portrait bookings? Yep, me too. In fact, if you're anything like me, you got into photography to get out from behind a desk. And yet, the irony is, the more you shoot, the more there is to do on the back end, which translates to more time spent behind your computer screen and less time doing what you love most, which is shooting. But the good news is I have a game-changing free resource that can help you break free of the cycle and cut down these precious hours by, guess how much? Up to 70% of the hours that you usually work. It's called my 3-hour post-wedding smart workflow checklist, which as the name suggests, shows you my exact step-by-step workflow for getting all of these tasks completed in just 3 hours. Yep, that's right. Literally from backing up the photos on a wedding night through to delivering the online gallery to my clients in just 3 hours. Inside the guide, you'll find a detailed breakdown of exactly what I do and don't do in my workflow, how long everything takes me, what I outsource, when, and to who. This includes the editing service and gallery providers I use. Plus, tips throughout for streamlining the process even further that have been honed in over my 11 years experience in business. And P.S., the same process I outline in this guide is transferable for both brand and portrait photographers too. So I got you too. Do you need to see it to believe it? I don't blame you. Head to saramonica.com/workflow to download a free copy straight to your inbox and join a crew of photographers working smarter instead of harder in their photography businesses. Sarah is spelt without an H and Monica is spelt with a K. So that's saramonica.com/workflow and make sure to download this powerful free resource now.